good to see you. Welcome. For those of you who are guests with us, we'll greet you formally in just a moment, but let us say that we're glad that you're with us. We typically do a few announcements at the beginning of the service to kind of remind us of what we're doing. So if you would take your order of service out and bring your attention to a couple things. First of all, we will have deacon election in just a couple minutes. We'll get to that, but if you're a church member, we want to invite you to be a part of that process. I also want to remind you of things happening today. The Baptist men be leaving at 1:30 today. Be reminded of that. Youth small groups, you know where you're going tonight. You know what situation is with each of your groups. And then the 1 month to live, we're in like the fourth week now of our 1 month to live campaign. And I want to remind you, even if you have not been a part of any of the small groups yet, you can still benefit a great deal from coming and being part of that group tonight. The group will be meeting at 6 o'clock in Adult 3, and then Wednesday night be meeting at 6:30 in Adult 3. So be reminded of that. The senior adults, your movie night will be Monday night, which is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. So come and be a part of that. And then next week there's a note there about Marissa Morgan Joyce, who will be ordained at 3 o'clock in service at 3 o'clock here next Sunday afternoon. So be a part of that and remind each other that as the week progresses. Also want to remind College Parkers your trip on Tuesday. Be going to the Wycliffe Missionary Training School. For many of you know that the Wycliffe Missionary Society is dedicated to translating the Bible into every known tongue around the world. And their headquarters is down just south of Charlotte. So College Parkers will be going. Those of you who've signed up for that, you know who you are. Just want to remind you that the bus will be leaving at 7:30. Because you've got a 10 o'clock tour time. So be leaving here at 7:30 day after tomorrow on Tuesday. The cost for the trip will be for lunch and the gas for the bus. So Doug Jordan will be leading that group. So come be a part of that if you're signed up to do so. Would like to extend a special word again to our guest. Our ushers are going to begin down the aisle, and they've got some information for you. If you're a guest at College Park today, I'm glad that you're here. And we've got some information that hopefully you'll have an opportunity to read. There's a letter in there as well as some information about the ministries and mission of College Park. And hope you'll take an opportunity to read that. I want to challenge our members. Look around you. Notice where our guests are. And be sure and give them a good welcome at some point that's appropriate during the service. At this point, as I said, we will be entering into a time of our deacon election. And Chris May is our church moderator, and I want to ask him to come at this time.
Good morning. As Raymond mentioned, we will be holding deacon elections here in a minute, and so I'm going to call us into conference at this point. Just a few reminders. This is for our members, so are any of our guests or visitors, please bear with us for a few minutes. The ushers are going to be coming down the aisles with ballots to distribute. We also have extra pencils if needed. There should be some in the pews. There are going to be several names that you'll see on the ballot. Please, a reminder that you select no more than six. Any ballots that have more than six names circled will be deemed invalid. If you are at the 9 o'clock service, do not take a ballot at this time because you've already voted at the 9 o'clock service. And once you are finished with your vote, if you would pass the ballot to the middle, the ushers will then pick those up and we'll take those. And one last reminder, all ballots will need to be received at the church by 6:15 this evening. So again, if there happens to be anyone that's not here, that you know of and they want to still vote, we're accepting ballots up until 6:15 this evening. So at this time, I'd ask the ushers to begin distributing the ballots. At this time, if the ushers can come back down the aisle and collect any ballots that have been completed. Just a final check. Are there any members who did not receive a ballot? And is there anyone who still has a ballot? Please raise your hand. Okay, I will call us out of conference. Thank you.
Our teenagers and children are aware that Thursday they don't have school. They don't have school, but maybe they're not aware of exactly why they don't have school. And the reason they do not have school is because it's Veterans Day. And Veterans Day is not just about having a sale at the department store. It's not just being out of school. It's about taking a time and pausing and recognition of the service of men and women who have offered themselves to serve in military service to protect the freedoms that we enjoy and that we often take for granted. So we wanted to pause for just a moment to remember all those who and recognize all those who have been a part of any branch of service or auxiliary of the service. So if those of you who have served in any branch of service or an auxiliary of any of those branches of service, if you would please stand. We owe a debt of gratitude to you for your service. We appreciate you. And it's because we have the freedom to gather in a situation like this that we can worship corporately. And that is indeed a privilege and an honor. And we're glad that you're here. To call us to worship this morning, we want to invite Psalm 2 for our call to worship.
Pray together. Our God and our King, how good it is to know that you are in place. But even more so, Lord, how great you are. Lord, your love is beyond our comprehension. And the fact that you choose to reside in us, to work through us, and to be present with us this morning is an amazing thought. Lord, let the words that are spoken this morning, let the songs that are sung, Lord, the prayers that are offered up, bring honor and glory to your name. And Lord, let us be open to hear your Spirit speak and move among us this morning. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
I invite you to join me in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for a beautiful day, a day where we can pause and worship you corporately. Father, we just pray that as we have a time of worship together, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would heal us at those points where we're hurting, that you would cleanse us in those places in our hearts and minds that are dirty, that need to be confessed. And Father, we pray that as we confess, we know that you will be faithful to forgive, to cleanse us, renew our hearts and minds. Father, we pray for those who are hurting today because of loss of loved ones in the last week or so. We know that there's been a great deal of suffering throughout our world with natural disasters and things that we don't understand but are a part of life. And we pray for those who are hurting and who need a special touch from you today. Father, as we go from place to place in our busy schedules this week, we pray that you would allow us to see people with your eyes. And so those that may need a physical touch, a hug, a source of encouragement, that we would be faithful to that task. For those who just need somebody to listen to them and to show that they care, we pray that we would be faithful to that task, that we would have recognition of those times when you're giving us those opportunities. Father, for those who are traveling today, we pray that you would just keep them safe in their travel, bring them back to us safely. And Father, for all the blessings that we have that we enjoy every single day, we know that a price is ultimately paid for that. We know that your Son paid the ultimate price in his sacrifice so that we can enjoy something beyond physical freedom that expands into spiritual freedom of knowing who you are, knowing how much you care about each and every one of us. And Father, our limited knowledge of physical freedom gives us a glimpse into the true freedom that we have in Christ. Father, for those around the world today who do not have that kind of freedom, we pray a special word for them, for those who are enslaved by the circumstances of their culture, their government. Father, we pray for them. For those who are meeting in situations and worshiping today where they are in danger from persecution, we just pray that you would be with them and that your Spirit would be with them, guide them and encourage them and nurture them. Father, for those who do not know what it means to be spiritually free, we pray a special word of challenge to our own hearts that we would be faithful to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that we pray and ask these things. Amen.
Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, please forgive us. We come to this place today with fears and anxiety and distractions that keep us from focusing on you in this worship experience. We ask for your patience and tolerance. Please help us quiet our minds and let us put aside our distractions. We return to you with this offering, a small portion of your gifts that were given to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
This is the fourth week of 1 month to live. And for those of you that are visitors with us, we do know how to count. This is not the last week. There's actually 6 weeks in our month. You know, it just kind of works out that way. But today we are actually going to take on the third principle. Even though it's the fourth week, we're taking on the third principle in our 1 month to live challenge. And it may be one of the most difficult out of all the ones we're going to talk about, because it is to learn humbly. Learn humbly. People who face the end of their life, if they know that the end is coming soon, it's funny because they take on a remarkable humility. They have to depend on others to a certain extent. Gone is that self-sufficient pride. They begin to understand what it means to depend on others. Yet in their weakness, they discover a liberating truth. And that truth is actually mentioned when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 12:9. And it's one of those difficult passages where Paul is struggling with an issue that he is just absolutely powerless over. And he has asked God to remove it three different times. But God said, and he records what God has said to him, God says, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." And Paul's response to that is, "So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me." I don't know about you, but there's times in my life where I feel absolutely powerless. You ever felt that way? Yeah. Just absolutely powerless. It may be a habit that you're trying to break, or it may be a problem in a relationship, and you've tried everything to overcome it or to fix it, and it's getting worse and worse, and you feel powerless to change it. Or maybe it's a problem at work, and it's just draining your energy and your creativity, and you feel absolutely powerless to solve it. Maybe your schedule's overloaded. Maybe your schedule's overloaded, and you feel completely overwhelmed, burnout, your emotional batteries are just shot, and you feel powerless to do anything about it. I think we all feel powerless at some point in our life. Hopefully not all the time in our life, but at least at some point. Maybe it's a personal failure that rocks your world, and you think that there is no possible way that God can possibly use you. But you see, it's our weakness. It's our failures that are wonderful opportunities for God to show us and the world the full extent of His power. You know, for some reason, when I hear the phrase personal failure, I think about Peter. You know, we laugh and we joke about Peter a lot, but granted, we all fail in life. You know, the only people who never fail are those who never do anything. That's right, they never try to do anything. So, I mean, we understand that. But Peter's failure is so visible because it happened at a time, you know, that's pivotal in human history. You know, and it was recorded. His failures were recorded in Scripture for every generation to read about and to judge him. But yet, God gave Peter power to begin again and become just a great champion for the cause of Christ. And so we're going to look at his life a little bit this morning, Simon Peter, and see how he teaches us by example how to learn humbly. And I think there's three things that we can learn from it today. The first, at least three things. The first is that we have to learn from our losses. Okay? Learn from our losses. Simon Peter, I mean, he was one of God's chosen 12. This was the A team, the dream team, the world changing team, if you will. And in fact, Jesus thought so much of Simon that he changed his name to Peter, which we know means rock. Yeah, solid. Peter, I'm going to build my church on you, buddy. You know, you're the rock. You're the champion, Peter. And now Peter may have become a little overconfident with that. I know if Christ said to me, "You're the rock, you're the," you know, I think, well, okay, his head swelled just a little bit. He's kind of like us, so it's understandable. Maybe he became a little bit prideful. And on the night that Jesus gathered his dream team together, the night before human history would be made, but not in the way that they anticipated, Jesus warned them, "This is going to be a tough day for you guys." Yeah, it's not only going to be a tough day, but every single one of them are going to fail me. And Peter said, Not me, Lord. I'm the rock, remember? They call me Rock. I've got the t-shirt. I'm the captain of the team. I'm not going to let you down. Others may fail you, but I'm not going to let you down. You can count on me. And then what happens? Crashed and burned. He denied Jesus not once, but three times. Yeah, he lost his nerve. He became afraid. He got to the point where he said, I don't even know that guy. And in the middle of all of that, in Luke chapter 22, it tells us what Jesus' response was. The Lord turned, looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And Peter went outside and he wept bitterly. That's the Bible's way of saying he was completely broken. Jesus didn't have to say a word to Peter. He looked at him. He just looked at him. And he looked at him with compassion. And he looked right through to Peter's heart, to his very soul. And he saw the regret. He saw the shame. He saw the guilt. And maybe some of you are right there where Peter was. You're right in the middle of a failure. Maybe it's a failure in your marriage, a failure in your family, a failure in business, or an emotional failure. And you're right there in the middle of all of that. And Jesus doesn't have to say a word to you, but he looks with compassion into your heart and he sees the guilt, the regret, the shame. He sees all of that. And he doesn't have to say a thing, but he does. He says something. He says, you today, because of the power of the cross, understand failure is not final. Because of the power of the cross, understand failure is not fatal. You see, we have the God of second chances, and he wants to give you the power to begin again. He wants to give it to me. That's what he did for Peter. He gave him the power to begin again. But to begin again, we have to learn humbly from our losses. And to learn from our losses, I think that you have to take on something and you have to let go of something. What we take on is responsibility. Responsibility for our failures. We own up to our failures. In Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13, it says, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. You know, you just have to chuckle a little bit and think, God, you're a gracious guy. When I admit my failures, I get another chance. When I take responsibility for my failures and don't blame other people, God forgives me and I get another chance. That's not a popular or a widely accepted response in our culture. Our culture says it must be somebody else's fault. Personal responsibility is at a premium these days. I mean, it really is. You don't see it a lot. Supply and demand says it's very valuable when we can actually do it. Because culture says when something happens to you, it's got to be somebody else's mistake. Just fill in the name. Blame them. Sue them. But Scripture says we admit our sin so that we can be forgiven. We take responsibility. I have to admit my own failures so that I can learn from them. Peter, he was probably a pretty proud dude. We know that he was a little bit bombastic. He just kind of spoke whatever came. There wasn't a whole lot of filtering between brain and mouth. He just said what was on his mind. And we know he's probably a pretty proud guy because just prior to all that we read a few minutes ago, we know that the disciples were having this big discussion about who was going to be the greatest among them. But after his crash, kind of wiped all that pride out. In fact, he felt like God could never use him again. And the irony is, just the opposite was true. God could finally, fully use him. You see, God can't use me when I'm swollen up with pride, because then I get the glory for what I do instead of where it belongs. God can use me when I'm broken. God can use you when you're broken. And some of you, like I said, some of you may be right there, right now. It's a painful place, but it's a place of pain that is the place for new beginnings. It's a place where God can begin to fully use you. So to learn humbly, I have to take responsibility for my failures, but then I have to let go of something. And that's guilt. You have to let go of it. After Christ rose from the dead, after all this transpired and Christ was crucified and raised from the dead, the angel appeared at the tomb. And look what the angel said in Mark chapter 16, verse 7. The angel said this, "Go and tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." The angel said, Christ is alive. He's not here. You need to go tell the disciples that he's alive, and don't forget to tell Peter. Remember, Peter's still included. He's still one of the disciples. Don't forget Peter. You see, Jesus understood that Peter was completely broken, probably felt like God could never use him again. He had blown it. He was the team captain, and he blew it. Probably felt like his life was over. So much for changing the world. And Christ wanted him to know, Peter, I've got a race for you to run. I'm not finished with you. I know how you're feeling, but I also want you to know that you're still included. I have a great plan for your life. I'm going to give you the power to begin again, to become a great champion for me. And he says the same thing to us today. God says, I want to give you the power to begin again. I have a great plan for you. I've got a great race for you to run. I have a magnificent journey for you. But in order to do that, you've got to let go of something. We have to let go of our guilt. And that's our responsibility. That's something only we can do, is to turn loose of the guilt. And it may be one of the most difficult things in the world to do. I don't know. Maybe it's because we as Christians have a bad habit of shooting our own wounded, don't we? Somebody's down, somebody makes a mistake, we drive them in the dirt, man. Instead of lifting them up, instead of encouraging them to ask God's forgiveness and forgive themselves, we drive them down. So when we see ourselves fail, it's really hard to forgive. It's hard to turn loose of that guilt. When I was a teenager, we used to gather on Sunday afternoon some, and sometimes on Saturdays, and we would ride motorcycles around, whether it was at Leonard's house or Evan's house or wherever. We'd go ride motorcycles. Christian, come on down, buddy. Come help me out. While he's coming, we'd ride motorcycles, and back then it was motocross was not nearly the refined sport that it is now. We didn't have all the cool equipment that they have now. I'm not sure. We probably didn't wear helmets. That explains a lot, doesn't it? Yeah, that explains a lot. I'm not sure we wore helmets. I know we didn't have the cool gear that they have now. But now they've got really cool stuff. Some really cool stuff. And one of those includes these spiffy goggles. And Chris is going to put those on for us. And you can see. Can you see me? Mm-hmm. You see pretty good, can't you? Look at all the people out there. They're all looking at you. Okay? And motocross guys, I mean, they're riding along. You know, and all of a sudden stuff starts getting thrown up at them. They can see pretty good. And then this stuff starts happening to them. And you don't see as well now, do you? Okay, well, but they've got this really cool thing. Boom! Now you can see pretty clear again, right, buddy? Yeah, we're seeing good. But then life happens again. And you don't see clearly anymore. But the cool thing is, boom! You pull it off and you can see clearly again, can't you? And you take those off and you throw them away. Those riders, thank you. Those, give him a hand, yeah. Those riders have a seemingly endless number of those things. They just keep peeling off. And it's super cool because they can continue to see the track no matter what is thrown at them. And that's how you and I need to deal with our guilt. You see, our vision becomes muddied and clouded. Our vision becomes so clouded because of our guilt and regret and from our mistakes, and it piles up. And as a result of that, we cannot see the future that God has for us and the race that he wants us to run. So we have to take responsibility for our failures, but then we have to let go of the guilt. Throw it away. Throw it away. Just toss it aside. and move on and not pick it back up. So the first thing we have to do if we want to learn humbly is to learn from our losses, which includes taking responsibility and letting go of our guilt. The second thing after learning from our losses is we need to surrender to God's strength. And the reason we need to surrender to God's strength is because we cannot change in our own strength. If you've ever tried, you know how difficult it is. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Today, you can go to any bookstore and see hundreds of volumes on how to find purpose in life, how to help yourself, and most of them will say, well, to find your purpose in life, you need to look within. You know, find out how to satisfy yourself, follow your desires, meet your needs. And as noble as that sounds, the truth is, it's not the truth. The truth is, that's not at all the truth. That there is no way that you'll find purpose in life by looking within. You have to look to the God who created you. The God who knew you, who made you. He knows what he made you for, and he knows what journey that he has for you. Jesus, when he said, deny ourselves, what he was saying is, we must deny ourselves in order to find fulfillment. I must deny myself and follow God's plan and God's path and God's way and God's purpose for my life. That's what brings total fulfillment. It's just the opposite of what the world says. The world says, satisfy myself. Jesus says, deny myself. Peter denied Christ and he crashed. It's when he learned to deny himself that he became usable by God. So what does it mean in this verse when it says, take up my cross daily? The cross means different things. But in this context, the cross means one thing, death. Now, granted, for us as Christians, the cross is a symbol of victory over death. But in this particular context, it means death. We take up our cross daily. We die to ourselves. We die to our selfishness. We die to trying to live our life under our own strength. And we surrender to God's power and his strength. It's a daily beginning again. Daily surrendering our plans to him. Daily surrendering our time to him. Daily surrendering our finances to him. Daily surrendering our dreams to God and saying, God, I want what you want from me. And in doing so, we surrender to God's strength. And when we do that, we can do the third thing. And that is pursue God's path. Because of God's power, Peter proclaimed boldly the gospel on the day of Pentecost, and over 3,000 people trusted Christ and were baptized. What made the difference? How did Peter go from miserable failure to totally used by God? How did he get there? What brought him from miserable failure to divine accomplishment? How did it happen? Well, he learned from his failures. He took responsibilities for his actions. He let go of his guilt. He surrendered to God's strength, daily dying to himself, and he sought God's plan and purpose. Then he could clearly see God's path, and he boldly pursued it. He went for it. And when we pursue God's path, we can do the same thing. We can go full throttle into life. You see, God gives us his commands not to make us miserable, so that we can live life and live it as Jesus proclaimed in John 10:10, more abundantly, !! More abundantly, to the maximum. That's what God wants for us, but we have to pursue it. Look at the next verse that I have for you is Psalm 119:32. This verse, it's a cool verse. It says, I run in the path of your commands. Understand again, his commands are there to help us. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. Makes you want to shout hallelujah. You have set my heart free. You see, the Christian life is the most exciting, it's the most exhilarating, it's the most frightening and scary, it's the most fulfilling, it's the most rewarding life that anybody could ever have. And if that is not what you're experiencing in life, I say you need to get on your knees and ask God, what am I doing wrong here? Show me what you have for me. Show me what you have. Because God has an amazing journey for your life that will help you if you will learn from your losses, surrender to His strength, and then pursue the path that He points out. What is He calling you to do? To live fully the life that He desires for you. What does that look like? If you only had 30 days to live, you'd probably spend a lot of time trying to figure that out, wouldn't you? So I challenge you, why not start today? Let's pray and ask Him for His help. Gracious God, we confess we're human. You know that. We know that. And as such, we're subject to failure. We're subject to miserably failing you at the point where, and to the point where we just feel like we can't possibly be of any use to you anymore. But Father, when those times happen, we pray that your grace would be sufficient and our recognition of that grace would allow us to move beyond that point, to seek your forgiveness, to take responsibility and to move on through your grace, to set aside the guilt that Satan would like for us to carry around like a red badge of courage. Father, we pray that you will forgive us and that you will restore us, and that as you do that, we begin to trust you even more. God, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And we know it's possible because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. This is a tough subject because it admits us, it requires us admitting that we're wrong. But if you're here this morning and you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to this point in your life you've been wrong. I hope that now you see the truth of what Jesus has done for you and you want to receive Him. And I'll be here at the front. We sing in just a minute. And I invite you, if you've not asked Jesus into your heart, I want to give you an opportunity to share that with you, how you can receive Him as your Lord and Savior. If you don't want to come this morning but want to call me this week, that'd be fine. Be glad to meet you somewhere and talk with you about it. If you're here this morning, you say, you know, Raymond, I am a believer, but boy, I'm so far off track. And I really need to get back and do what God wants me to do. This is your time as well. I invite you to square that up with Him. You can certainly do it where you are. The altar will be open here if you want to come pray as well. If you're here this morning and you'd like to be a member of College Park, there's a number of ways we receive members. I'd be glad to share that with you. But whatever your decision is this morning, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing now. Hope you have a wonderful afternoon. Let's pray as we go. Dear Father, as we go from this place, look deep within our heart. Touch us at our point of need and our point of hurt. Father, we pray that as we go from here, we would go with a renewed sense of joy and peace and freedom, experiencing the true freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. For it's His name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.